Good morning. How are we doing? Nothing wrong with a little bit of Holy Ghost glory time, eh? Shake it and let it loose. This is the last sermon on this series, I promise you. I am sure, yes. I am sure. So we feel that we've sort of not exhausted, but I think we've done enough of helping us, well, we've been through the book of Philippians, understanding what the heart of an apostolic church is. And so today we're going to end off with that and see that, most of all, the Philippian church was not a church that was alone. It was a church that partnered. It was a church that was autonomous in its own right. It had elders and deacons in it, New Testament, biblical pattern, but it didn't stand alone. It was connected to a translocal team headed up by Paul, who was an apostle, not titled Apostle Paul, but just Paul, who was an apostle. And we started off, I just want to do a little bit of recap from day one, just so we remember where we were and how we got here. If we remember, Acts chapter 16 is how the Philippian church was planted and how that started. And then I made the statement right in the very beginning that being an apostolic prophetic in heart and lifestyle is more than just having a name called Heart City Church, Apostolic Church, or something like that. And it is more of a lifestyle, an ethos, and a culture that we imbibe and that we develop and we progress through and we grow through. And it's a great declaration. Remember that we were heirs to Abraham. And remember, but first of all, we started off looking at who we are. Sitting at the top of the umbrella, the pile, is the Godhead. And all we do and all we say and all our worship and our functioning is for the King and His kingdom. And that we are a Word and Spirit people. You cannot divide the two. They are one and the same. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we live by that. And then, of course, under that, we're an apostolic prophetic people. And then we gave our five values of encounter, engage, equip, empower, and extend. And so that was just a little look. And then we had a definition of what the apostolic prophetic meant and what it looks like. Apostolic is to be sent or thrust out. And we do that to impact and influence not just our local area, but to the nations. Speaking of which, you're Michael and Lule. Michael is in Italy at the moment, and he's gone over to be part of the equip time, but also to minister there, and we pray that possibly, hopefully, he will get an opportunity to preach at the equip time. And Jess has joined him, so Jess and her dad are there, and they hopefully she'll get to lead worship there and to minister to the nation and be a blessing to the Italian nation. And then we also sent off Lule last Sunday. She flew on Friday, and Lule is in Estonia ministering into churches there. And so whilst we do good local, we also got a good international. And then being prophetic, declaring God's will and purposes, hearing what God is saying to us. I just love the prophetic this morning, the pictures, you know. And how many of you have actually done the ride with your raincoat on to Niagara Falls? I know you're all Canadian. This is like passé. I know for us in South Africa, we lived on the coast and said, well, when last did you go to the beach? And we go, And all of you saying, oh man, I can't wait to get there. And so Niagara is probably like one of those things for you. It's passé. It's like, oh, geez, that's for tourists. Who really wants to do that? But I encourage you, go and be brave and just sit under the spout and feel that mist come over you without the raincoat. Don't take your camera and all that kind of stuff because that'll get ruined. And then both of them are to restore biblical pattern to the church and restore biblical worldview to the world. And then we looked at the apostolic prophetic covenant and what that meant and how we got here. You know, always good to go to place of first mention when we're reading scripture and studying scripture and trying to understand it. Genesis 12, 1 through to 3. I guess you can all read that, okay? Genesis 17. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, And I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Acts 3:25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're part of that. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Abraham was an apostolic prophetic person. I know we only really think about it in the New Testament, but he was the one that God sent, go, blindly, go, I'm sending you. And he packed up everything and went. Didn't know where he was going. Then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, which we are, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Then what was the promise? Then when you see that God made a promise. And because there was no great, I lift your name higher because he is the greatest, because he is the highest, because he is the mostest. There's no one else you can swear by. So he swore by himself. He gave two oaths on himself. You know that God would never break his promise, never break his word. So there are two unchangeable things in which is impossible for God to lie. So this morning I want to preach on a base church. What is a base church? You might have heard this around. Did you hear what Chris said? Chris didn't know that I was going to preach on a base church today. But if you heard what he was exhorting us to, he basically could have stood alongside me and preached with me. Because this is what we're doing. And this is what we are called to be. We many times in prophetic words over us as a church, that we would be a base church. And so it's good to say, that's like saying, well, we're an apostolic church. Well, what does that mean? I'm so glad you asked the question. Because hopefully today, I want us to expand our vision. We might look at this little one on the left and say, well, that's Heart City Church, that's local. But this vision goes way beyond that. And everything I'm going to tell you this morning, we are not there yet in some of the stuff. In some of the stuff, we are there. What does a prophetic people be? We are see the future, prepare for the future, to become the future. Otherwise, our vision would remain like the one on the left all the time because it's just too hard, it's too big, it's too difficult. Do you know that even when you do things right, you get opposition? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're doing everything right, but there's opposition. Three gentlemen, Old Testament, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They did everything right in the sight of God. They obeyed God. They fulfilled his laws. They did everything. When they were called before the king, possibly to be put to death, they didn't go, oh, this is not a good idea. Let's change our mind. Let's do something different. This is not so good. They said, no, 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 we will not bow down. We will do what God has told us to do. This is just paraphrasing. And so what did the king do? He said, okay, well, let them, give them a cool shower and send them out because they've been out in the hot day sun. Or did he say, put them in the furnace? No. He said, heat up the furnace 7 times. Make it 7 times hotter than it's always been. I want to show these boys something. Heated it up 7 times. Sometimes when we are doing things right, things come against us 7 times more difficult than we could imagine. We stay focused and do what God has called us to do. Keep our eyes fixed and focused on Him. And we know, threw them in. And then the king declared, didn't we throw 3 guys in? I see 4. What a wonderful testimony. Sometimes when things heat up, we just got to stay the course, stay the pace. Expand our vision. Don't let's get all navel-gazing now. This is too hard. We can't do this. Ken Grenfell, some of you know him, remember him, came into our church, and this is what he prophesied in 2005. You are known in the spiritual realm. You will become known in the natural. That's not for ourselves. I think it's been made very clear this morning. His love endures forever and ever and ever. And that everything we do and say is not about us. It's about the King and His kingdom. And God wants to use us locally and translocally, internationally. So what is the heart and mind of a base church? I'm so glad you asked. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. Or anywhere that seems good to you. This is where I'm going to read from, though. Now, I've used the scripture many times before because I think it's something we need to learn to hang our coat on. One of those. What is the heart of an apostolic church? Remembering now, let's just take our little picture of who we are in Pickering, little Heart City Church, and let's see the vision expanded to what God is calling us to do. And the truth is sometimes someone said to me many years ago, if you have a vision in your heart, in your head that God has given you and you think, oh, that's easy, we can attain it, it's probably not from God. But if it scares you, because He's a big God, He's a wide God, He's a creative God, He's an amazing God. When His son left, He said, I promise you, things that I've done, you're going to do more than I have. Paraphrased. We go, oh, well, no, it's just me, and this is just who I am. And no, you're not made that way. Anyway, I can get sidetracked here. Now, may our God and Father, verse 11, Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord God make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. The heart of a base church is that we would have our hearts expanded, that we would be willing to go somewhere, to go and mix our hearts with other people, that we would go in and assist them and encourage them, that their hearts would be strengthened. Who knows that if you've ever been part of a church plant, when there's just four, us four and no more, week in and week out, week in and week out, you don't feel expanded, you don't feel encouraged, you don't feel your heart is lifted up. But you get up every morning and you go. I have a t-shirt that everybody laughs at. It says something about, what's it say? Sorry? Destined for greatness. That's what my t-shirt says. And underlined in smaller writing it says, I'm just pacing myself. I've told you before, I want to captivate the genius of plodding for God. One step at a time, little by little. It's one of the promises given to Bridget and I before we came here. Little by little you will take the land. It's no good if it's just for Bridget and I. It's for all of us together. Little by little we will move forward. Number two, the mind of a base church. Turn with me, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 19 to 23. This is part of when Paul surrenders his rights. He says so at the beginning of the chapter. So it doesn't make me clever, it's just because I can read. 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Paul knows who he is in Christ. He knows exactly who he is. He is not bound by anything. He says, I am free in every area of my life. But I have chosen to be a servant to all. Not to some, not to the ones I like, not to the B&B, the bold and the beautiful, but to everybody. And he goes on and he says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law. Let me just clarify, says Paul, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, the Gentiles that he's speaking about, I became as one outside of the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. That's why we have to be so careful when we go from under law to under grace, that we don't go from under law to under licentiousness. Now we think that as well as just open season now, we can do exactly as we like and how we like and what we like. Well, I guess you can choose to do that. But that's not the best for you. When we say we're under grace, it's an unmerited, favorous gift to us from God Almighty. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. We will go for the sake of the cross. We will go for the sake of the lost. To see His kingdom come, the song says. To see His glory done. We heart and mind for the gospel. Broaden our perspective. Broaden what is out there. So there's two questions we want to look at this morning. What is the base church? And what does a base church do? And that doesn't mean what is a base church and what do the elders and deacons do? Because we are the church, we are all the church, we all know that. So what do we do? So what is a base church? A base church is our life is New Testament, New Covenant. Last week I touched a little bit on being covenant people or convenient people or contract people. And we are a covenant people in a New Testament church. A New Testament church is a church in the pattern of the book of Acts, as we see it through the typified churches in Jerusalem, Ephesus, Antioch, Thessalonica, and Philippi, and a number of the other churches to a greater and lesser degree. We're not looking for new just so we can be different. We're not saying new, we're saying New Testament. That's very old. It's not new. Well, we want to be the church on the cutting edge. Oh, that's cool. We want to be the church that is really relevant to our people around us. Oh, that's also cool. The only thing that is new and modern for us is a biblical pattern. It's biblically. We want to be biblically led. We want to be biblically real. We want to study the scripture and say, how did they do it there? Let's do it here. Let's not recreate something because we want to be new and we want to be this and we want to be that. And all this stuff is good and it's healthy. Please don't go away and say, Mark just wants to be all boring. He wants to like live like they did 2,000 years ago. I'd love to. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a dynamic and a power that a couple of men went and turned the world upside down, Acts 17 says. These men have come here. These trouble starters, these fire makers, they have come here and they have messed us up. They have messed our city up. Wouldn't you want to be that, like that? Stand at the bus stop in the GO train and there's somebody comes along and crutches and you just put your hand on them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Bang! Why not? We need to have a heart after that kind of stuff. We have to need a heart after Jesus. He is the focus point. It's not all the miracles and the signs and the wonders that is the focus point. Jesus is the focus point. And what did He come to do? He came to return us, to reconcile us to the Father. The rest of it's just our expression. What is a base church? It's the gospel, the King and His kingdom. It's Holy Spirit led. It's priests all functioning what God has called them to do. And that's why we say, let's get together, let's get around each other, and let's pray for each other, because we are the priesthood, a royal priesthood. Chris alluded to that this morning, 1 Peter 2:9. A base church prepares people for the calling, the plans and purpose that God has placed within them. Ephesians 2, chapter 10. We are His workmanship. Our job here is to equip that we can go out and do. Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 12 says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we do. We not only equip and empower, we extend the kingdom of God by sending. Again, just saying, Michael and Jessica and Lule are an extension of us. They're not like waving goodbye as they go over the hill and say, cheerio, we'll see you back in 2 weeks' time. In Lule's case, a little bit longer. We should all be fervently in prayer that when they stand up and they open their mouths, they first of all, they represent Jesus Christ. They also represent Heart City Church. They are ambassadors for Christ and they're our ambassadors to the nations. We had the privilege of going up to Halifax last week, 2 weeks ago, and ministering into that church there. And when we leave, we trust in their hearts, and we know it happened because they told us that they were able to go. Because they were, you know, skiing uphill. It's hard work. I wouldn't know. I've never done it. It looks hard work. Unless you get on the ski lift. And Dan and Kate are coming here in 2 weeks' time. So they're going to come here and we're going to shower some love upon them. Where am I? I'm losing myself. I get excited. A base church, we intentionally look outward, active in our community, going over the wall, walking across the street. You've heard all this before. Stopping by your neighbors. I love I'm seeing some healthy stuff on Facebook for a change. Fingerprints. We're looking at fingerprints. For those of you doing Redemptive Thread, I just want to keep encouraging you. I'm just hearing fingerprints all over the place. And that what's going on in people's lives. And we had this fingerprint moment. We had that fingerprint moment. And basically to what I'm saying is people are starting to have their eyes open and see God at work. And not going, afterwards going, I wonder if there was God. Because we are looking more at God incidences than just coincidences. Amazing stuff. God is just, I think God was the greatest. What was the name? Boris Spassky and Bobby Fischer. They were the great chess players of the time. I think they got nothing on God. I think God knows how to, two moves, you're done. Checkmate. And he can just across international lines. Isn't he amazing? Intentional. Another thing. We don't own you. We don't own anybody. Ephesians 4, 11, 12 to 13, I think. Let me just check. 12 to 13. You're not ours. You don't belong to the elders of this church. We are a grace gift that God has placed here to lead this church. That's all we are. Paul said, I am servant of all. We are servants of the Most High King and we are here to serve this body. To grow you, to mature you, to release you into your calling. And you can work with us or you can't. Or maybe don't want to, I don't know. But we don't own you. We want to see you released into God's purposes. Into your local community, into your business, into your workplace, in your schools, and into the world if God is calling you to that. All of the congregation is drawn to the immensity of the togetherness for others. Remember we did the little glasses thing, baby, mature, adults, parents, how that all works. Acts 2, 42 to 47. When we can understand the immensity of the togetherness, the synergy of us all together for the others, for those out there, not for ourselves, not so we can claim anything for ourselves, not so we can say, well, look how mighty I am, how great I am. Look how God used me. And that's very exciting stuff. When you, the first time God ever uses you for something that's just way out of your paradigm, your mind. Whatever it is. And I mean, we appreciate when the people come and bring words and just step out in faith that they believe this is what God is saying to them to do. And we know it takes courage to do that. And those that are visiting with us today, I know how much courage it takes to walk into a church where you don't know anybody. And you have no idea, you're petrified of what's going to happen next. Especially when you walk in to the visitors and you see this all around, you think, oh my, what kind of a church is this? Where's the cross? Where's the stained glass windows? Well, I'm happy for those. Please don't, I'm not mocking. Please, don't walk away and say, I mock. I'm happy for people who've been called to that. And we link arms, and I do that twice a month. On a Wednesday morning, I go and I pray diligently for this city, with other pastors from the city. And they are from every kind of denomination and non-denomination and every tribe and whatever. And our hearts are linked and joined together because they are amazing, wonderful men of God. We can only do what God has called us to do. And one of the things this morning I'm trying to get us to understand is we are called to be a base church. I'm not anti anybody. They are doing what God has called them to do. And we are doing what God has called us to do. And sometimes it might be like eye to belly. That's okay. A base church is where lives progress and delight in the grace of God. It protects people from bondage and legalism and fear. Galatians 2 verses 11 and 12. A base church has leaders, elders and deacons, who will address, confront issues that attempt to steal liberty and genuine freedom from the flock that God has made us overseers of. This was not a great idea of mine. This was an extremely amazing, out-of-the-box, great, wonderful idea of God. My job is just to follow that the best I know how. Will I mess up? Absolutely. If you're looking at me as your salvation, you're wrong. If you're looking at me to fulfill your purpose and your calling in life, you're wrong. And if you're looking at the other elders to do that, you're wrong. But we have been called to spearhead and lead this thing in plurality of elders. Michael, Saligo, Chris Walkington, and myself, together. Which comes to the last one of a base church, the leaders are also accountable, transparent, and open to translocal input. My first call of reference of accountability is Michael and Chris. And they often keep me accountable and tell me, you're out of your tree, Mark. And then I have other men outside on the translocal team that I'm accountable to. And I've said this before. Because I am on the translocal team, I'm accountable to Tyrone. Not because of the way I run, we administrate this church. I won't say the word run this church, but administrate this church. I'm getting signs, miracle signs and wonders. She's giving me signs and I'm wondering. But there are three other men that I'm accountable to, including Anik and Tyrone. Because we have decided that we want a partnership with them. You hear speak around and I'm thinking, how do people get to that understanding? I just want to say something. We are not an NCMI church. We're a New Testament pattern biblical church. We relate to a translocal team that we are called NCMI just for the sake of a name. It's not a governing body. It's not a denomination. It's not a movement. It's a bunch of friends who got together over 30 years ago, looked at the scriptures and said, we see something different, especially when it comes to church government. I can't make excuses or make apologies for it. It's biblical, and that's all we're trying to do. I think I spent... Wow. Okay. Jeez. That was point number one. Okay, let's go quickly. Our currency is people. That's you. A base church is a church. You can tick this off yourself. No, don't tick it off. We're not into ticking things off. Heart and mind. How's your heart? How's your mind? It's a church with large-hearted people. It's a church with large capacity people. And it's a church with large, generous people. Oh, there he goes. He's after money. No, I'm not. It's in every sphere and facet. A people who see the end and don't dwell on the minutiae of things. Don't dwell on their little green church, but see the big one. That's where our vision. People are willing to look and go over the wall. We will shift our personal comfort. You know, we all have our own little personal comfort. And sometimes people step into your personal comfort, and what do? Immediately while you're talking to them, you smile and you take a step back. And then they don't get it and they take a step forward because now they think you can't hear them. And then sometimes we have to learn to stand our ground. Let them get into our space. And we want to get into the space of the enemy. And we want to get right up in his face. And we want to declare and say, no more, no further. This is who we are. This is the stand we are taking. This is the God we serve. This is our base church. And what we want to do is extend the kingdom of God. And make an influence. And let your destiny, whatever, I can't remember. Yeah, that thing. Yeah. In a nutshell, there are people who are totally selfless. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. It's about the King and His kingdom. A people who live for Christ and not for themselves. Go and read Philippians chapter 3 verses 7 to 15. Paul says, I count it but rubbish. It's nothing. I'm doing everything for you, God. In a nutshell. So people are saved from judgment and death because we follow the Great Commission and follow after our King, His kingdom. It's people who grow in maturity and have no time for pettiness. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Because they're too busy with the mission of Jesus. I just want to follow God, and He's got us on a path. And we have to learn to see there is universal church, of which we're all part of. But we are also part of this local church, and I trust that you have in your heart that God brought you here, that He said, go to Heart City Church. I love, I don't see them today, so I can speak about them today. Tom and Arena, they moved from here to go and live in Uxbridge. And they were there in their church. I'm sure it was a wonderful church and it was great. And they were sitting there, and they were there for 8 months. And they came to me, and they walked back through the doors one day, and I was like, wow, hi. Now I know how far Uxbridge is, and I don't want to be rude, but they're elderly people. And you would think that they would just want a church just around the corner. But they came, walked in, I said, hi, how are you doing? Welcome. And they said, we have to talk to you. They were talking to me, they were sitting by themselves. One was on the porch, one was in the room, and they were praying and saying, God, why do we feel so spiritually dry? What is it? And simultaneously, God said to both of them at different times, I told you to go to Heart City Church, I didn't tell you to leave. So they thought, okay, God, we're going to, winter, rain, hail or sleet, we're going to get in snow, we're going to get in our car, and we're going to come to Heart City Church. They are a blessing. They are an absolute blessing to us. And sometimes we can find all good reasons why we should just go to church. I mean, Bob and Marge, I saw Bob here earlier. There's Bob there. They come from Etobicoke to come to church. I honor you and your wife, Bob. We honor you. They've been in this church 62 years. Did you hear what I just said? They've been in this church for about 62 years. Faithful. Faithful. If you need a candy, Bob's the man. Our currency is people. I don't know if I'm going to get through this today. we live for Christ. No, blah, 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 Philippians. People who are intentional, militant, forceful in prayer and spiritual warfare. A militant church that will not accept complacency, passivity, apathy, a minimalistic and a poor attitude. Matthew 11:12. When we get together, when we come together, sometimes we have to fight. And you've heard me quote this before. I still love it. From the movie Four Feathers. When the guy says to him, they're waiting in the trenches. Then he says, I fight neither for country nor flag. But I fight for the man on the left and on the right of me. And sometimes we have to get that in us because we are family. We need to fight spiritual warfare, fight for our people. We don't have to, we know we have an open heaven over us. It's not like we have to fight through the demons in the heavens. Jesus made a way for us. But sometimes we let our minds get captivated by nonsense And we need our brothers and sisters to help us. Okay. Our key is generosity. People, time, and finances. We've got to be generous with people. We've got to be generous with our time. We've got to be generous with our finances. And the reason we do that is because we want to care for the poor and the needy. Because we want to bring people to Jesus. The gospel is for free, but it costs a whole bunch. Extending the kingdom of God and kingdom of God, we send, we sow, and we seed. And there's different things. And sometimes we sow people, and sometimes we seed finances. So that one day that church can grow and take a deep breath and become a base church if they're called to do that. And that they can extend and expand in their area of influence. And that's why we strengthen and support new church plants. And those that call us and say, we need some prayer, we're having a difficulty here, there, everywhere. So, I don't really have time to do, but I just want to say this quickly. Just write this down if you're taking notes. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And we see there, if you go and read it for yourself, I'm just going to run through this quickly just for the sake of time. We see in Acts 13, remember with heart and mind of a base church. Remember they prayed for each other and then they, by the Holy Spirit, they said they sent out. So they helped launch new ministries, what they did. They plant churches in obedience to the Great Commission. As I've said, God's currency is to use people willing to go and sacrifice. Paul and Barnabas probably and John Mark thought, hey, this is a cool idea, let's go. Did they know that down the road, shipwrecks and beatings and spittings and slappings and kicked out of cities awaited them? And even when they found it out, they said, that's okay, we will go for the sake of the lost. We will go for the sake of the cross. Praying and fasting. They're a worshipping church. They prayed and fasted together. Leaders in the fivefold ministry came out of that church. I have no idea what God has for everybody. But we hope that in time to come that we would plant somebody out of here as a church plant. And then would we be able to say, who wants to go with them? That's our heart. Obedient, they were obedient to the Holy Spirit and they effected local and translocal. Acts chapter 14 verses 21 to 28. You see again, they went out, they preached the good news, they equipped and empowered the saints, they strengthened and encouraged and gave. Let's just read that one. Are you okay for another 10 minutes? Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Okay, anybody on this side? Going once, going twice. There you go, Ralph says, okay. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to go and eat lunch anyway. We are. We're going to go and eat lunch. We're eating right now, actually. I sit there for Chris. Acts 14, where were we? 21, 28, 21. When they had preached the gospel to the city and had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many their tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. A.W. Tozer said, easy? Who said God's easy? Many tribulations, they will enter the kingdom of God. We don't like that part. Mark, can you just take a big black marker and scratch that part out? We only want the part that makes us feel good. No. It's a base church. We have a great calling on our lives. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord whom they had believed. And then they passed through Pisidia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. This is the important part. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had commended to the grace of God for the work they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. We see that they preached, as an apostolic translocal team, they set elders in. Not anybody just sets elders in churches. I can tell you stories about that, but no time. They retraced their steps, encouraging the churches that they had called them. They returned home because of accountability. They went back to the church, gathered the church together, and said, by the way, guys, I just want you to know, we've been flying around in our Learjet, and it's been a wonderful time, and we just want to tell you what God did for us. Or we were on the donkey and we were walking. They give God all the glory. They don't take it for themselves. All about God and the King and His kingdom. Okay, quickly now. So what does a base church do? I know we could have spread this over about 4 or 5 weeks, but I've got something else burning in my heart for next week. So we see that we models and lives out New Testament kingdom of God values. It is the life of Christ. It's the Zoe, the life of Christ in us. That we model and we follow what the Bible says we should do. Secondly, it makes our ministries available to others. So when other churches say, Mark, our worship leader's gone on leave for a month because it's cottage time, we say, okay, we're going to send you someone. And we lend people to other churches so that they can minister and they can carry on and they can function. We have to be generous of all. No, that'll mean it depletes our team. You selfish thing. Some people don't even have a drummer. They don't even have a set of drums in the church. I don't know. This is our set of drums. We've got about 5 drummers, and I guess all of them have drum sets at home. Possibly. I don't know. And here we have some churches that don't have a drummer, and they don't have drum sets. They don't have a keyboard. They don't have a keyboard player. They have one guitarist. We have been wonderfully gifted. For us not to share that would be terrible. I have another word, but terrible is good. What does a base church do? We exist and live for the sake of others, fulfilling the Great Commission. Not all churches are called to be base churches. Some are called, and we've had the word spoken, it sits right with us as an eldership. I believe it in my heart. I believe we will get to a stage some week where you're going to say, last week so-and-so wasn't here. We'll say, oh, no, they were in this city. They were ministering there. Oh, but where was this next week? Oh, they will say out there. Oh, where's this? Oh, no, they're overseas. Oh, where's this person? Haven't seen them for 3 weeks. No, they're over in Bobanango or someplace. I don't know. Pick a place. Bobanango is a place in South Africa, by the way. We host and support other leaders. We generous heart to help people fulfill the commission that God has called upon their lives. Host and support Apostolic Ventures Conference team times, and you've seen us do that through our GTTs and etc., etc. A base church is able to sustain growth, maturity, and effectiveness even when the visionary is away for sustained periods of time. It's not about me and my ministry and my preaching. I don't know how to say this without sounding arrogant. I hope you hear my heart. I happen just to be the spear point, the leader of the team. The rest of the team are just as vitally important, and we need to be able to talk to me, strengthen, structure, and strategize ourselves to minister to the broader body of Christ. I've heard that sometimes when Bridget and I aren't here, you have a whole bunch more fun than when we are here. How do you think that makes us feel? But I know what that feels like, because when I was on an eldership team and the lead guy used to go out and the church used to go, a good word in Afrikaans is tekera, which means crazy and mental, while they were away, they'd come back and you'd say, dude, how come when I'm here you only function on 6 volts and when I'm gone there's like you functioning on 12 volts? I don't know. But that's just sometimes a little bit of a cork in the bottle that needs to be released every now and then. I'm just being honest with you. Does that make me feel bad about myself? Absolutely not. We rejoice. I know one time, and I still keep coming, I cannot forget it. It's Bridget and I. We were in South Africa last year, and you had an evening, and I think Francine was one of those who got a little bit tequila, got a little bit crazy, and she took the mic, I heard, and made everyone speak into the mic and thank God for something. And you recorded it, and Bridget and I sat in our bed, in our lonely little bedroom in South Africa, all by ourselves. Good response. And we listened to your prayers. And we wept like babies. It brought such joy to our hearts. You know, sometimes you get scared to say to people, we won't be here next week. Because you're scared that you won't come to church. It's called pride and arrogance. And that's why we want you to pray for us. We want you to send us. Because otherwise we're going in our own strength. And we want you to go to Kira, crazy. When we're here and when we're not here. The base church is a voice of truth rather than an echo of their culture. We want to just be truthful, speak truth in love. Produces and commissions new leaders and church planters in the local church and to the world. We haven't quite got all this right yet. Plants new churches while building up and maturing the local church. And of course, we will always give God alone the glory. And here endeth this lesson on the heart of an apostolic church. And what a base church is. Oh, I don't know. Just shut this down, Ken. Eh? Okay. Sheesh. Oh, no. Okay. So, oh, sorry. Okay, talk to me afterwards. So that is basically what is a base church. And when we hear, say the word base church, then you understand what we're talking about. It's a church that mostly has large-hearted people. Are you large-hearted? Are you large-capacity people? Are you largely generous? Not for the sake of us, but for the sake of those out there. For the churches that call us and say, please come. For the opportunities, that, as Paul said, that God in faith had opened the door for us to go. And the opportunities that God will present to us, and in the future, some of you. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go and spend a weekend somewhere else, sleeping in someone else's basement? Sleeping in a tent in the backyard? No, we won't let you do that. This is Canada. You don't have to do that. If you go to Guyana, you might have to do that. Or Africa. God has a huge vision for us. If you can just remember the little one and the big, let expand our vision. Next week we'll start a new series. I really felt we're going to start a series on the power of the cross. It's been something I've been wanting to preach for about a year. But every time I got there, God has delayed me, given me something else. And so I had a good chat to God and he said, just do what I tell you to do, my boy. I said, okay. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you that you love us. That you sent your son to die for us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for our inheritance. We thank you for what you are calling us to. We thank you, Lord God, that you open the doors, that we don't have to kick in anything, that we don't have to push against anything. Father, that you would call and anoint and send us where you will, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would send us first to our local neighborhood, into our own communities, into our workplaces, that you would show us the fingerprints, Lord God, that we can be salt and light for you. And Father God, we come and we thank you for the opportunities that you will present. And Lord, we ask that you bless us as we go. Bless our meal together, Lord. Let us have a wonderful time as we fellowship. As we follow through on Acts 2:42, Lord God, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just 1 second before you go.
We touched on Acts 3:25. It says, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. Mm. We think that we're the ones being blessed. Mm. Through Abraham, we're the ones being blessed. Uh-uh. We're the offspring. Mm. It's for us to bless. Mm. We're the ones who are now children of Abraham, for us to go to the nations to fulfill, to be what we, to fulfill that which we think this thing's about. We think it's a blessing for us, but in fact, we are to be a blessing to the nations.
Yeah. Thanks, Frankie.